I downloaded the specialized editions of Star Wars and watched all three of them over the last 2 days. And it's so much better than the special editions. God. I got to like the very end of Jedi, and Darth Vader's eyebrows are really distracting.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because they digitally messed with his face in the remasters.
In the original ones, he had eyebrows because the actor has eyebrows. And then they erased it with CGI for the special editions. Mm-hmm. And so the despecialized is all back to original. Like, they didn't pick and choose. So, like, one of the things I wish they hadn't changed, like, they get rid of the windows in Cloud City that I actually thought looked really nice in the special edition. One of the few things that was an improvement. Or in the actor who plays the Emperor in Empire is not Ian McDiarmid. Who plays him in every other movie. It was some random other schmuck. And they put him back in because that was the original version. I thought that was just an
ape.
Yeah, it's just some kind of chimpanzee with a
hood.
But they put the eyebrows back, but I guess they didn't have good footage of the original, of that scene, of the no helmet scene. So they CGI'd eyebrows back onto him. And they don't stay still. So and like the skin doesn't line up. It looks like...
Literally caterpillars.
You know,
like Michael Dukakis.
What it looked like is
so it was like Rayman that the eyebrows are like not
the Conan O'Brien when he would do like the celebrity mouth where they would just have cut out and they'd have the mouth in there. It was like that, but with the eyebrows. Like they literally didn't line up and they would move around on the face as the cutout moved around. Yep. They were really bad, which is unfortunate because everything else about the Specialized Edition was amazing.
Yeah, I mean, we've talked about the special editions. I just
leave the eyebrows off. That would have been better, guys.
I like the small cosmetic changes to all the special editions. Besides like fucking Anakin Skywalker, like fuck that.
Oh, yeah,
that was bullshit.
So it felt so good seeing
whoever that
the
guy
new
was.
Force ghost. Oh
yeah, I mean,
oh, and hearing Lopty Neck in a Star Wars film again.
Lopty Neck.
That's the original song in Jabba's Palace before CGI extravaganza of Jedi rock.
Yeah, and then having, like, for some odd reason, just so we could fit him further into the film, have Boba Fett in there wooing the ladies.
Yeah.
Like, they didn't need to add anything else with Boba Fett. He's a bounty hunter who got hit by a blind man.
He's actually...
flew into the side of a skiff and then fell into a pit.
He's actually in there a surprisingly large amount. Like, he doesn't do much, but he's around a lot.
In the despecialized?
He's there. Like, it's like at Jabba's Palace. He's just kind of just standing in the background watching stuff, but they do cut to him more than I remembered in the original version. It's surprisingly big presence. He's the one that pulls a gun on Leia when Leia has the thermal detonator when they're doing the negotiations. He's actually there more than I remembered because I couldn't really parse how much was original versus the abomination.
You'd almost have to get somebody's VHS copy
I trust that it's specialized because these, like I said, these people went through all this effort to put eyebrows back onto somebody. They're going to be legitimately, you know, faithful to the original versions.
And welcome to Bearded System.
Yes. Oh yeah, well, whatever.
Yeah, what?
No, go on. We have to intro.
Episode 224.
224.
22.
2x4.
Yeah, my name is Andy, and I don't know what I play.
Man, 20 more episodes until the grossest episode ever.
Why? 2, 4, 4.
You get it?
Hmm?
Episode 244. No, that's 144. Shit! I fucked up my joke.
It was like almost 100 episodes ago.
Yeah, I fucked up my joke.
Yeah.
I'm Dave.
All right, well, in 288, it'll be too gross.
Yeah. I'm Dave, and I play Kador for 7 more days.
For 7 more days? That's it?
I have, well,
until the ATC?
Yeah, I'm playing Kador at the ATC, and I have no idea what I'm doing after that yet.
6 more days.
No, well, I mean...
Because he'd be playing Kador.
There are 2 days. There's two.
In theory, he'll still be playing on Sunday.
Yes. Maybe.
the odds are low that I'll be too hungover to play on Sunday, so I've got at least 7 more days of Kador.
Guys, I'm going to 0-3 drop. That was the question. Yeah. And I'm Nathan, and this morning I swapped out Iris for Sears in my Siri Nova reveal deck. Or Sweers, rather, with a W. Sweers. I think Sweers will be good in the current meta because there's a lot of consume and a lot of Brewerhoog dwarves.
There's Sweers and there's something else. Jaegers, is it? Am I thinking of something?
Jaeger?
Jaeger. It's something from Gwent. Jim was telling me about it.
I don't know, but yes, we're. Oh yeah. Oh, it was funny. What was it?
I know what it is. I could probably send Jim a message and he'll tell me back.
Yeah,
and then it would.
Oh
make,
no, that's what it is. Because there's.
It's a horrible trolley thing.
The consume deck. So what Swears does is you target a unit and it removes all copies of that unit from your opponent's deck, mm-hmm. which usually isn't that big of a deal because they've already played the unit, right? Like, who knows? But there is a monster that when one of them dies, you get a free one just pops out of the deck. So once they play one, you just Swears it to get rid of all the follow-ups. And that monster that you are Swearsing at is called a Necker.
Yes.
And so they talk about how he's racist because all he does is Swears at Neckers all day long.
That's bad.
It is very bad, yes. But yeah, so it's that's
the yeah, race, that's what Jim was deck. Telling me about yeah. on Friday. Yeah,
that's why he's in there is for the consume decks, and same with Brewerhoog has the whatever. The point is, I think Swears will be a good fit. Plus, it's a premium art. It's I think only the second premium card I ever got. I've actually had it for a long time, but I just didn't run Nilfgaard, so I wasn't using them.
Oh, I also missed a goddamn joke I could have had for this episode
for 224.
Yep, welcome to Crippled System 224. This is also the standard retail version of the Hooch Hauler.
What?
It's not really a joke. It was basically saying that basically the MSRP probably on the Hooch Hauler would have been about 220 if they were selling it in stores directly.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So, but
speaking of the Hooch Hauler, you wanted to talk about the Hooch Hauler. I'll talk more about Star Wars later.
Yeah, we could. Yeah, I mean, we've had this will be like our third episode in a row with Star Wars, and we could talk a little bit about the Hooch Hauler.
We know,
and the crazy fucking
we
internet.
We know our
rage.
Viewership will be okay talking about Star Wars.
Yeah, I'm just saying, Ewoks are the fucking bomb, and Porgs, they're cute. Whatever.
I enjoyed. We didn't actually talk about the Porgs at all. I enjoyed how they were just an invasive species.
Yeah.
like Chewbacca. They only showed him like twice in there, but
they
I'm
kept
sure
more Porgs.
I'm sure that he eating Porgs for one thing, but I'm sure there was probably a lot of lost footage of him dealing with the Porgs in the Millennium Falcon. Like if you didn't need a ship that was even more rickety than it was before, with shit going wrong all the time, then now you got like animals actively ripping. Apart pieces of the ship.
Hey, that was somebody posted on Facebook one of the storyboards from one of those scenes that they actually had the Porg managing to turn on the lightsaber and annihilating one of his friends.
Yeah, yeah. The Porg. Have you not seen that picture?
No.
The Porgs are like sniffing at the lightsaber, and the one like steps on the button, and it just decapitates one of the other Porgs.
Jesus!
He just shoots straight.
That was in the storyboard. Yes.
Yeah.
Wow. Kind of glad that was that would have been hilarious to us, but like any little kid, because they're trying to make this so it is a kid film too. But that
Chewbacca
would have been
murdered and cooked at least three of them.
You know, he didn't really murder them.
were those ones that had died a natural death?
Yeah, probably.
Okay,
probably after it was hit by a Wookiee. That's a natural death.
Are Wookiees scavengers?
No. Wookiees are natural deaths.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that they are a force of nature. But Ewoks are the best. And
Arctic Circle doesn't know that Yoda is a character.
Hmm? I said Ewoks are the best, and Arctic Circle isn't aware of the concept of Yoda as a character.
What about what?
He says that Ewoks are the only heroic character you see going from alive to dying to dead. And you definitely see Yoda go from alive to dying to dead.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess you don't see a corpse. You see, you see him dead, and then it vanishes.
Yeah, he vanishes like all the other.
But most of the other stuff just like explodes. You know, some rebel fighter pilot will just explode. You don't see a lot of.
Didn't Yoda just sort of close his eyes and disappear?
You hear his breathing slow and stop. He actively dies.
He's in bed. He disappears, and his sheets fall.
He does.
But I mean, you hear him give his last breath.
Yeah, he gives his last death, and then his body. He does not insta body vanish. Ben Kenobi insta body vanishes.
Yes,
like he's alive and then he's just gone. But Yoda does literally die. He breathes. You hear the breathing stop.
So
he collapses backwards and his eyes close. And then, like 3 seconds later, a decent sized delay, he vanishes.
So that was that has been my question for like 30 years, is that with all of that happening at the end of Jedi, were they just having a funeral pyre for Vader's empty armor?
He's probably still in the armor.
But he appeared as a Force ghost instantly. I thought you had to vanish.
Well, it depends. I don't think it really...
I don't think Jedi, you have to vanish.
Jedi and Sith maybe have a different way.
But wouldn't Anakin be back to being a Jedi because he was redeemed? Yeah. Also,
that's why they changed it to his true form, because that was when he was actually a Jedi. So therefore, So that's why Hayden Christensen needed to be put in there.
Fuck you, Lucas's jowls. See, I always thought like Yoda's the weird one there, because Kenobi, he like force suicides. You know what I mean? He doesn't get killed. He wills himself cease to exist.
Fucking amazing timing too, because he's sitting there like this with his lightsaber, and it's coming. And, you know, it's coming like old man who can't see anything swinging
right
around him.
Yes. But, yeah, so that's the weird thing. So, like, you don't necessarily – Yoda's the only one who dies and then vanishes. Kenobi vanishes without ever dying, and the other people leave corpses behind. He's like – otherwise, you know, you'd see, like, after – Order 66, there's plenty of Jedi corpses just piling up all over the place, and they don't all vanish.
Yeah, but I mean, I was assuming that it was just you had to achieve a certain level of mastery of the Force to
or maybe
both vanish and to become one with the Force.
Sure. Maybe there's some type of meditative transcendence that you have to go through. Because, I mean, like in The Last Jedi, I mean, Luke basically was in that type of state before he just vanished.
Spoilers.
Well, we already know.
Spoiler
that.
Alert! Yes,
yeah.
Luke also vanished, and we're waiting for the Force ghost.
Ceasing
to
exist and later appearing as a Force ghost could be two separate skills.
Okay,
I don't think
Yoda could have just, you know, arranged it to be, you know, nice. It's maybe considerate. It's considerate to not leave, you know, a corpse lying around.
Yeah.
So the Jedi are also our janitors. Well, they actually no, they don't clean. Well, maybe they do clean.
Like a Force lightsaber?
A Force broom?
Yeah,
Force that would be broom. Great. They would just, you wouldn't have to worry about anything.
Yeah. They just wave a handle around with no bristles.
Oh, can you imagine a little lightsaber Roomba?
We literally do see a Force user with a broom in the new fucking movie.
We do? Well, yeah.
Yeah.
But he uses it like magic. He's like...
It goes like an inch.
I know.
It goes like an inch. Darth Oliver.
It's Oliver Jedi's. Twist.
Yeah.
Oh, yikes.
Fucking midichlorians.
Well, somebody did mention in the chat, though, that Qui-Gon dies. And then he dies in a pretty, you know, pretty horrible way. And he doesn't Force Ghost.
He doesn't get
stabbed. He doesn't Force Ghost till later. And basically, you don't see him till later.
You don't even see him. You never see him as a Force ghost. Yoda's talking to Obi-Wan. He's like, by the way, like, Qui-Gon knows how to turn into ghosts, and he's teaching me off camera, and I'll teach you. That way we'll know why we both can do it later, even though nobody fucking asked how we learned to do this, because it doesn't matter.
I could have sworn we seen him as a Force ghost.
Wasn't Qui-Gon as a Force ghost at some point?
I don't think you ever see him as a Force ghost. Yoda says that he was learning from Qui-Gon how to be a Force ghost.
I think he did it at the... I think he was at the big celebration at the end of the first movie, at the end of Phantom Menace.
Yeah.
I thought he was like in the whole thing there too, kind of similar to how Jedi ended.
I don't know. Qui-Gon, Force Ghost.
He's also not the most honest of all Jedi either, too. Darth
also,
Qui-Gon.
He's a goddamn idiot.
Kind of.
Yeah, no, I don't think he did. You don't see him as a Force Ghost. I'm not finding any pictures of him as a Force Ghost on the inner tubes.
Well, you'll have to go home and watch the copy of The Phantom Menace now.
Okay, I'll watch a despecialized one. Take all the CGI and everything out.
Phantom Menace is watchable. It's
the best of the prequels.
I think
from a filmmaking standpoint, is the best assembled one, and that's depressing. That shows more about the other two than it does about it.
I mean, there's cooler sequences in the other films.
The third one, yeah.
Second
one has literally zero redeemable features whatsoever.
I only remember the giant fight wasp scene. That's the only thing I remember, where Jango loses his head.
Sure. Yeah, where an army of plucked chicken people kill a bunch of Jedi.
Yeah.
So bad. But from a filmmaking standpoint, Phantom Menace is the least bad. From a shoving popcorn into your mouth and hooting and hollering standpoint, Revenge of the Sith is the least bad. And from a make you wish you were dead, the second one is the best.
Send in the clowns. Yeah. I really honestly don't remember much of it. I remember
that shows you how bad it was.
I remember some fight scenes at the beginning with them and the animals as they're being killed.
That's like at the end.
Is that at the end?
That's way towards the end. That's the same place that the chicken people attack and they decapitate.
Oh, that's Jango that whole sequence. Yeah,
the beginning.
Maybe that's the only part of the movie I remember. So I also remember
a shapeshifter tries to kill Padme, and then they chase him to a bar. And it has the one good part of the movie where there's like a really drunk guy there who tries to start a fight with Obi-Wan.
Yeah,
and Obi-Wan's like, "You will go home and rethink your life." He's like, "I will go home and rethink my life," and just leaves the bar. And that was funny. And then there was 2 hours of terribleness.
Yeah, a shapeshifter who can't lose other people in a crowd.
Well, a shapeshifter who then like is lost in the crowd and then decides to reconnect with the Jedi to start a fight again. Just leave. Yeah. Or don't leave. Stay there for 6 hours. Like, you're fine.
Yeah.
Well, my primary recollection of that, because I only watched like part of it because it was on the TV at the time and I was doing something that was more interesting. Because I tried to watch like the first 20 minutes of it and it's like, yeah, this is terrible. But my primary impression of that movie was that George Lucas was really sad that he didn't make the fifth element.
Yeah.
That was kind of it's like you have one of the, you have one of the best IPs in science fiction. Why are you ripping off the fifth element?
Well, I mean, that was also not, they wanted to go to more of a Coruscant look too.
And then have a 1950s. Yeah. Roller skate diner with a guy's butt hanging out.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Why?
Was that? That was also voiced by what's his name too? John? Was it John Ratzenberger?
I don't know who voiced the guys with his butt hanging out that owned a literal 1950s diner with robots that had roller skates built in so that it could be a fucking 1950s diner.
I think that's awesome.
Yeah.
I'm not. Yeah, I like that. Did you know Luke also did...
It could
did,
be okay in a less shitty, like...
Correct. Did you know Luke did the that stupid little monster that put all the coins into BB-8? That was Mark Hamill.
Oh, was it? That's yeah. Cute. That's cool.
I thought that was adorable with that drunken...
Then who the fuck was... what's his face? I think Warwick Davis was in it, wasn't it? So who was he? I assume that was him because it was a more diminutive... character.
Well, I think it was I don't think Warwick Davis was in The Last Jedi.
Somebody of
they shoved them into an R2-D2.
Yeah.
I mean, you couldn't get Kenny Baker anymore, unfortunately. Oh, poor little guy. He's no longer with
us. Yeah, and oh my god, why am I blanking on his name? But now he's just a Chewbacca.
Peter Mayhew.
Yeah, Peter Mayhew. They had him listed as like Chewbacca. Consultant.
Yeah.
That was his, in the credits he was Chewbacca consultant.
I mean, like he was in there for like just kind of standing around Chewbacca. Like if
he wasn't even that.
He wasn't?
In Force Awakens, he played Chewbacca about half the time. And that's why Chewbacca was very often sitting down or just leaning against a wall.
Sure.
Because that was Peter Mayhew, what he could still manage to do. And then if Chewbacca was running and jumping and cartwheeling, that was the new guy. In Last Jedi, Mayhew, I don't believe, even suited up once because they had him in the credits as Chewbacca consultant, not as Chewbacca.
I mean, when I saw him at, I actually ate next to him at Gen Con, I want to say maybe about 10 years ago or so. It was, yeah, I didn't bother him at all because I don't like doing that. But it was really cool to have eaten next to Peter Mayhew. Looks like he was, are you looking up a Warwick Davis? Are we wasting time of both of us looking up Warwick Davis?
Well, I'm in Last Jedi, see, so we're both in two different places.
He's in Solo.
David should be talking.
He's in...
So anyway, the ATC is next weekend.
Nope, the ATC is this weekend.
It is this week, but next weekend.
It is this weekend because for everyone except for the three people watching us live and the three of us, they're not going to hear this during the weekend. This shit goes up on Monday, so as of when anybody else is listening to this, it's this weekend.
Okay, if you are not listening to this live, the ATC is...
Warwick Davis Wodabin.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. You have to look up Wodabin.
Okay, I'll do that.
And see if you can find an image of it, because I have no idea who that is.
But holy shit, the ATCs this week, people.
Yep.
Oh, it's a little lizard face guy. There's a Wotabin. So he's definitely somebody at the casino. Some rich fucker, but I don't know who he is.
Yeah.
So this Saturday, we're hoping to see a lot of folks come out to the ATC. 31 teams from all over the country and Canada.
So, you guys didn't get the
coming in his pants. That is a really happy looking lizard guy. Like,
yes.
So you guys weren't able to get the last 32 team.
I believe it's 31 teams. Yeah,
31. Oh, so there is going to be a bye then, or
the first round for sure. Who knows what's going to happen after that, right? Because after the first round, it's opened up for people to drop and go to the solo masters. Yeah. And so, if an odd number of teams drop, we won't have a bye anymore. If an even number of teams drop, and that's what it would have been anyway.
That's going to mess with me though, because if I'm running solo masters, I got an even amount, and then one team drops, then I'm back to odd.
Well, yep. Except solo masters doesn't start until after the.
I know. We got time to kill somebody and hide a body. Okay. Yeah,
how many people are going to drop after the first round of solo masters?
No, he meant that if solo masters currently had an even number of people, if one team drops before solo masters even starts, it would make him have an odd number.
Because it's five.
But that's only. That's only if an odd number of teams drop.
Correct.
And we don't know that there may be an even number of teams drop.
Well, if there's
currently an odd number of people in the solo masters, then an odd number of teams dropping means that neither event has any buys. And that would be the best case scenario.
Yeah. So, talking about the ATC is freaking amazing. So there is a lot of diversity for all the factions. That's some really cool stats that you put out for that.
Yeah, my boy Arcadius is the only pig caster.
If you go to conflictchamber.com, the top post, you'll see this neat little pie graph that I think is pretty cool because it shows the faction distribution. And outside of just a couple of outliers, like there are only a handful of Convergence players, and Legion is kind of underrepresented. Everyone else is pretty evenly represented. We've got a lot of diversity in most of the factions, and within most factions, outside of the limited release factions, there are a lot of different casters displayed.
I would expect Convergence to have a limited amount as well. I mean, eventually, I feel like Grimkin will probably be in that same boat too, where you'll have you'll have your torchbearers for those factions. But Legion being a little underrepresentative, but that's going to change after the next CID too, because that's all Legion stuff, isn't it?
Yep. Legion CID might show up this Wednesday.
Yep. You can't bring it to the ATC, but you could talk about it there with your four other Legion friends.
Yep.
I don't know how many actual
Legion players. Seven
so you can talk about it with
six other Legion friends.
Yes, Jake Van Meter can talk with the six other people playing Legion. Well, C. Schmidt from Boise, or is that name Boise? I don't know. I'm assuming
who cares?
He's from Idaho. just Blighted Ogryn CID, so who cares? In the past, even though they have focused on one specific sub-faction, they have also brought in underperforming stuff in general. I would kind of expect in this that we'll, in addition to the Blighted Ogryn, we'll probably see some of the player favorite stuff that's underperforming, like the Carnivian and the Scythian and the Ravagor.
Probably see those beasts get a touch on them. We'll probably see like Kallus, both versions of him maybe have like something maybe done to him. Kallus 2 is actually done fairly decent.
Kallus 2 seems to be fine. Kallus seems to be performing well. But realistically, we'll probably see some of the stuff that's really underperforming. I think the Carnivian chassis is at the top there, and probably a player favorite caster that underperforms, and I'm not sure who that would be. I kind of hope it's Bethane, but we'll see.
Yeah, Bethane is always. I love the idea of the model, but it's. She really underperformed pretty much ever since she came into the game.
That was one of the things I was really salty about, because I was working on... I had all the models for my Bethane list at the end of Mark II, and then Mark III, she was never that good, and then they nerfed her going into Mark III and completely changed the way she worked. So I was salty about that, and instead put 8 Crusaders on the table.
Fair.
Yes.
And Magic Crusaders.
Yeah.
Crusaders that somehow always had two boxes left at the start of your activation.
Yeah. Yes. I had
Crusaders.
I had one beautiful tournament game, like, against Quimby.
Similar against me, like four turns in a row, I took a Crusader to one Cortex, one right arm.
Yeah, Quimby did the same thing.
Fuck David.
Yes. I'm seeing a pattern here. I'm seeing a pattern of cheating and seeing a box that he cannot mark. Yeah. Two boxes he can't mark. He made his own tokens, and he made it so he can't actually put dry erase markers over two boxes.
Yep. You're like,
we could probably sell those.
Yeah.
Make a pretty penny. It's like, look, I marked all the oh, it's gone. What happened? You just get a little silicone and put it right there on those two boxes. Yeah.
Silicone parts are made for toys.
It's my really sister makes nice
a lot
toys.
Of reference for you. Archangel, says the chat.
Yeah, the Archangel might show up in there. Maybe the Blightbringer as well. Blightbringer seems to be more in theme for the theme list.
Yeah, I haven't seen what the Blightbringer does, but I mean, if he's actually going to be in the theme force, then you're probably going to see him be touched in there in some way or another. I mean, he's not the force that he really was in Mark II.
Well, he never really was a force. He just had a couple of good builds that he was playable in.
When the Blightbringer first came out, people were shitting their pants over that thing.
Yeah.
He was everywhere. There were people convincing their TOs to run them when they got them pre-ordered.
Yeah. I've always thought the Blightbringer was a female. Trouble.
The Blightbringer?
Yeah. It's always been a female to me. I've always seen like a motherly, like broodmother kind of aspect to it.
Okay. Mm.
I'm just saying. It didn't occur to me until he said he, and my body like recoiled, and I guess that it was interesting to discover that I always assumed it was a female.
Yeah, I actually think of the Archangel as being a she.
I do as well.
Yeah.
I think ever since Vermithrax Pejorative, I've assumed dragons to be female unless otherwise told.
Sure.
Yeah, the Idahoan said the Blightbringer didn't change much at all, but he is expensive. And yeah, there are almost no changes to the rules for Blightbringer. I can't actually think of any. Comparatively, she got a little bit more expensive. And the big change is that Thagrosh 1 can no longer feed a Blightbringer back. And
But that was like the big thing about the Archangel for a long time, is that that was the only reason to have an Archangel is because Thagrosh could be like, surprise. I'm completely fine with that. With the amount of remove from play in this game right now,
it's risky.
It's risky to bring out Thagrosh with that. It would be nice if Thagrosh didn't have to rely, or you couldn't shut down Thagrosh's feet just by
it was destroyed
random,
or removed from play.
Yeah. Yeah. You should be able to bring something back like that because it's a feat. You shouldn't be able to shut down a feat like that.
Well, generally, I had one game in Mark II with that I thought was great because at one point my Blightbringer was almost dead, so I killed her myself on my turn to prevent the other guy from RFPing it.
Yeah, Nathan, you're just staring off into nothingness.
So the Hooch Howler.
Yeah, the Hooch Howler. Yeah, that's a thing. So
that's an expensive thing.
That is the most expensive thing, but honestly, not that much more than other models like the Sea King.
The Hooch Hauler also is half as many points in game.
Half as many points, but you're not paying
dollar
for
per point,
points.
Dollar per point.
Dollar per point. It's probably one of the most. It is the most expensive.
No.
Is it still the Sorcerer?
Sorcerers are way up there. Mechanithralls are way
Tinker.
Up there. Yeah,
the Goblin way up there.
Oh, he's like 25 bucks, I think, isn't he?
Yeah, for 2 points.
Yeah,
he's a lot of parts for it too.
Oh, gee, it's almost like the value of models isn't based upon their point value, but rather on the materials and other requirements involved in bringing it into existence. Well,
Yeah, I'm not saying that should be the case, or that it, that I mean people have been people have accused various game companies before of charging for models based on power level, which I think it's pretty clear that Privateer Press does not and never has done.
I will counterpoint people. I don't think it's right to say people have accused other companies to do that. I think it's right to say other companies have done that. Let's not beat around the bush.
Yes.
We don't have to point fingers, but it is a practice that does exist.
It is a practice
in some companies.
It is a practice and has been done. But I mean, the as far as I can tell, the way Privateer Press does it is it's a combination of material cost, design cost, and expected production run. And so you put all of that together, and the Hooch Hauler is going to be a really pricey model. I do agree that it sucks, though, because it's only 18 points, and it costs.
It's a niche piece too. Yeah. So I mean, as a troll player, you're only really playing it in one style of the list.
Yeah.
See, my two seemingly conflicting but not conflicting statements about the Hooch Hauler is that it is 100% validly priced. That model should cost what it costs.
Yeah.
But they should have made it so that that wasn't a truthful statement.
Yeah.
Like, there's 53 pieces in that thing, right? It's 53,
yeah, that's,
I believe.
I think that's
like that.
what Dallas
said. It's big,
it's
heavy, there's a lot of individual pieces. So you know what? Maybe make it so it doesn't take 53 pieces. Like, mm-hmm. I understand people want... Like, people have complained that GW has these amazing pieces and Privateer Press isn't at that scale. So I think they were tempted to do something really impressive like that. But then, of course, you know, people being shitty, those same people complained about how expensive this model was.
Yeah.
There's got to be a little change they could have made that could have cut down that cost.
If they just made it on the scale of the Death Knell.
Not even the scale, because I think part of it is the piece count is a big part of it. And one of the dumbest things I've ever seen Privateer Press do is, and I'm holding my hands like this because it is the dumb thing, is the Rune Shapers, the original Rune Shapers. There's one of them that's holding his hands up like this, okay? This hand is one piece. This hand, with the thumb 2 degrees further inward, is two separate pieces because this thumb can't be cast on the same cast as the rest of the hand because of the shape. Here's a fucking idea. Move that thumb out.
Yeah. Exactly.
Why did that? This is a more complicated design process than this. Just do this. I wouldn't have noticed. I don't care that the thumb's 2 degrees out. And I feel there should have been shit they could have done with the Hooch Hauler along those lines.
To streamline it.
To cut it down to 40 pieces, to cut it down to $140, and all of a sudden.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's my stance.
Here's my belief. This is what I think. It's an amazing looking model. I'm happy that they're doing it, et cetera, et cetera.
I think it's a great looking model.
But what I wish they would have done is had two options for it. And I think that a lot of people might have said, oh, sure, that's fine. One, make a conversion kit that you would take to your war wagon to turn into a Hooch Hauler. And then you have that be like a $60, $50, $60, $70, $80, $80 conversion kit.
Yeah, for just like snaps over
you just snap on to a regular war wagon, something like that. It really doesn't take that much because the building of that war wagon, that whole turret in the center comes off, and you're left with a big open space. So you just pop a barrel over the top of that with some filler pieces, throw a little seesaw on the top, done. Throw a random Northkin on a saddle in front or on a seat in front. That would have been fine. And then released a Hooch Hauler as a premium model that people could also get to use for their piece.
Sure.
So yeah. Kind of like an extreme. Like, you don't have to go and buy the Juggernaut extreme to have a Juggernaut. You could go buy a regular Juggernaut, and then if you really like the extreme, you can go buy the extreme. And just basically have the Black Anchor Industries one, Heavy Industries, sorry, but have that one be the extreme version of the Hooch Hauler. I think that would have been a better pill for people to swallow than just have that be the only option.
Yeah.
That was my thought process on it.
I said, people have to pick. You either want Privateer Press to make bigger, fancier, amazing prestige models that you can show off as hobby pieces, or you want them to keep the cost down.
Yeah.
You can't have both.
Yeah, the a lot of people don't seem to realize though too is like I had a couple of people just post pictures of tubs of resin and it's like, oh look, it's really cheap, and I'm like, sure, yes, resin may be really cheap, but you know what's not cheap? The silicone molds that you have to produce those resin pieces in. Those things only last a certain amount of castings before they actually have to physically replace them.
Yeah.
Because they have to pay for somebody to run, to build those molds, to run those molds, to repair those molds, because a lot of times they do break. And once in a while, you'll get a model that has got like a big chunk of green in it, and you're like, what the hell is this? Well, that's a piece of the mold that ripped off because they, you know, it was getting old. And then they have to build more molds every single time.
Yeah, and I mean just the design time for the design time for the model and cutting the molds costs, and the lower the production run, the lower the total production run is, the more each individual instance of the model has to be sold for to turn a profit. So I mean at that price point, I would be surprised. I mean it would not surprise me if at that price point, Privateer Press is cutting losses as opposed to making a profit on it.
And they're eventually going to be sold in the normal store for Privateer. So I would assume that some of the coupons that you get for the store eventually would be able to be used for those models. Like right now, you can't because it's all pre-order for both the Dracodile and the Hoochowler. But eventually, they're going to be thrown into the regular Privateer Press store. And I'm sure you could probably use those discount coupons.
Yeah. Sure.
And at risk of being called a fanboy, I mean, you look at the faction balance going into the ATC, and I mean, I think especially over the past year, Privateer Press has made a significant effort to
balance the game.
Concerted effort. Yes, that was the word I was looking for. Has made a concerted effort to balance the game and make decisions about the game that are beneficial for the long term health of the game. And that, yes, a lot of the things they're doing, the prices go up over time for some of the materials. They've had problems with their production lines. But all of the stuff they've done, as far as I can tell, that they're operating in good faith and they're making decisions that are for the long-term health of the game. And I mean, I think the faction balance at the ATC is the best demonstration of that, is that everything works and the new hotness is not taking over.
Yeah.
And it's not cash grab after cash grab. They're doing stuff that promotes the long-term health of the game. And there are missteps along the way. And I mean, yeah. I think putting out a $165 battle engine is a misstep. But I mean, I don't think it's malicious. I don't think this is a cash grab. This is just a problem with the production, because everything else they've done has been great for the health of the game.
I think if it was a cash grab, we would see the Hoochowler as being the most amazing model in Trolls.
Yeah.
And it's not the most amazing model. It's a good model, but I mean
performance in game.
Yeah. You would just see it just be the most amazing thing ever. But there's like the Gatsby 2 of Trolls.
There's always been stuff, and especially Trolls. Like, the unfortunate thing with being a Trolls player is that your shit is big. Okay. Yeah. Like, your entire army is bigger pieces, and so you're gonna have, you know, fucking A, man. I ran 3 units of Creel Warriors back in Mark 1.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Like, a unit of Creel Warriors was like $180.
Yeah.
Yep, because you had three
You had 15 models in that unit. 15 yeah, models. Because
you had the 10 units normally, then you had the two UA,
and then the three weapon attachments. They're 15-man units. Like, I spent like $500 just on those 3 units, and those fuckers were cheap.
Yeah.
Like, those were cheap. So that wasn't even a significant point. Like, that army cost $1,000 to run a 50-point army. You know, or not the 50-point, like the equivalent of a 75-point army now. Like Mark 1, what would it be, like a 500-point army, so whatever it was. The point is... Shit's expensive sometimes.
3 Rune Shapers were $41, I believe.
Yeah. Buying 2 Gobber Tinkers hurt.
Yeah.
You know, I spent like $60, $70 on 4 points.
Yep.
Yep.
Yeah, it's
some models cost more, and it sucks, but...
Arctic Circle says Trolls have big, Crick says spiky, both are expensive. I'd also like to point out that in terms of dollar per point, the Hoochowler is roughly in line with Mechanothralls.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean,
it's about the same. It's almost exactly the same price and the same point cost of 2 boxes of Mechanothralls.
Yeah, like I said, it's the model. It's not some ripoff. Like, they're not secretly. Yeah. it didn't cost them $20 to make this model. No. And they're cackling maniacally no. while counting your money.
No.
It, like Dave said, it's, what, 165, 160 even?
165.
165. This model cost them $160 or $170 to make. Like, it did not cost them $100.
It might be a little bit cheaper.
It might be a little cheaper.
A little cheaper for, I mean, maybe like $140 or something like that. But still.
But hey, they're a for-profit company, what?
But... they're eating the shipping cost
yeah.
as well, which that's going
they're
to
not getting rich
other
off
places.
The goddamn hooch holler.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, if anything, probably part of their production line has to shut down so they could make the hooch hollers as well.
Like I said, would it have been nice if they had found a way to make it cost $120? Absolutely.
Yeah.
But then you don't get the prestige piece that you wanted.
Yeah. Yeah. I wish that there was a cheaper method for creating the upgrade kit for your war wagon.
So the Idahoan says that miniature tabletop games are an extravagant hobby, and yeah, that's definitely the case. I mean, this is really all of this is derived from the British hobby market in the early 80s, mm-hmm. and it's always been an extravagant hobby. And I'm just fortunate that my wife is a knitter and spends a lot of money on very fancy fiber to knit with, and understands this.
She get in touch with Rick's wife.
Yeah,
they do their own wool.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Oh, okay. I didn't know if you got some of that. But.
Yeah, we've just been trying to get the schedules together because I know both my wife and Rick's wife are former sailors. So, and do
I'm a sailor.
Stuff. You're a sailor.
Yeah.
Okay.
But, yeah, wait, you were in the Navy?
No, when I was a kid, my family had a 30-foot sloop, and we spent a lot of time on Lake Michigan or Lake Winnebago.
Ah,
yeah, just a lot of sailing. A lot of sailing.
Land through Point Washington because I used to go on Michigan a lot to go fishing.
Yeah, one.
I used to go to sleep on the boat as my dad and my neighbor fished in Lake Michigan, and I used to eat all the donuts and then go back to sleep.
That's living. Yeah, I know. We would do a lot of weekend sailing. You know, my dad would, because his parents lived on Lake Winnebago, like it was their backyard, and then they had their own pier right out onto the lake, and so we would put the sailboat out in Lake Winnebago, and we go up there for weekends and whatnot. And then one summer for summer vacation, my dad, one of his buddies from when he was younger, and I spent the entire summer vacation, like 2 months, just
sailing.
Sailing. It was pretty cool, just going from port to port.
Awesome. Lake Winnebago.
Well, that was
Michigan. An amazing.
The summer vacation was like Michigan.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, Lake Winnebago was the weekend stuff with his parents' house.
That's a large lake. You don't realize how large that is until you're on it.
It's also on average one of the shallowest freshwater lakes in the world.
Oh really?
Yeah. Because it's so large.
Sure.
But its maximum depth is only like 20 feet or something.
Hmm.
Like it's actually extremely shallow overall. Which is very interesting.
I know it actually gets wave reports for dangerous waves on it because it's
so
it's so large. Yeah, I remember the very last time I went fishing out with my dad and our neighbor who owned the boat. Each time I was always the person going like, when are we going home? When are we going home? And the last time that we ever went out together was the time that I didn't want to go home. I was the one who outlasted the old men.
Yeah, there you go. It was men and a bored kid, and then it became a man and the old guys.
Yeah, pretty much.
Is what it was.
Pretty much, yeah. Like, yeah, we're done. I'm like, what?
The person on the boat who wanted to go home and nap had changed.
Oh, it was so. It was sleeping on a boat is so comforting. I love it. And nothing will put me to sleep quicker.
So much.
You don't want to sleep that much when you're sailing either.
No, yeah.
You want to have at least one person.
Well, yeah. I mean, you take turns sleeping and sailing. You don't all sleep at the same time. That's really bad. Oh my God. So this is only tangentially related, but it's a fun anecdote. Is an old roommate of mine. He had friends who ran a marina. Sorry.
The Submarina?
Yeah, the Submarina. Whatever. The point is they ran a port thing with the boat rentings and the whatnots down south. And
sounded very educated a little bit ago.
Good stuff. Point is, they get a mayday call. People are like, you know, mayday, mayday, mayday. We're out of gas and we're drifting. And they're like, well, tell you what, you know, that's... It sucks that you're out of gas, but that's not a Mayday level crisis, right? Just drop, sure. just drop an anchor and call on the regular channel. We'll send somebody out in a boat with some gas and whatever. And the people are like, we can't drop an anchor. We don't have any. And they're like, well, that can't be the case. You rented this ship from us, and we have two anchors on every boat that we rent out because we have the standard anchor, and then we have like an emergency anchor. The guy's like, yeah, two anchors. We've been out 3 days. They were cutting the line every morning and just sailing away from their anchor.
Oh, they thought
they were disposable.
Oh, no.
I can't lift it up. That shit's heavy. Slice.
I was expecting that to be a joke.
Nope.
At first, it was like, I was trying to process in my head.
That was real.
There's two anchors. We've been up 3 days. I'm like, wait, how is this? I was trying to process an actual joke.
The punchline is, this is customer service. This is
wow.
The punchline is, those fuckers wasted two of the anchors for that marinara.
Marinara.
Yeah, I was taking the joke an extra level.
Oh, okay.
With my mispronunciation.
Yeah. Oh, yay.
Same Latin root, though.
Yeah, yeah. It means smashed tomatoes.
It's a sauce associated with sailors.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. But not because of the smashed tomatoes. That was the...
Yeah.
But yeah, hooch holler, you know.
Yep.
Get also, it if you want it. Seesaws
don't work that way.
If you don't get it, then go down to a hobby store and find yourself like a little keg barrel and attach it to your war wagon.
Yeah.
And then get a little seesaw and put it on top.
Seesaws don't work that way. That's the secondary hooch gate is the fact that seesaws don't work that way.
Yeah. You have somebody who's actually can work that way.
So, yeah.
Also, when you're using a fork that's also bent a little bit slightly, it's going to come with like a little issue with that.
I'm talking about
the Muse video or the Colin video.
Yeah.
Yeah. it would have made much more sense than because he was using a fork, and it's already bent, so it's not taking the full force. It's going to send it.
It reminded me of the guy who was disproving 9/11 by taking a piece of steel and a Bic lighter to prove that fire can't melt metal. And it's like, you got a small aspect of scale here, buddy. That's not exactly the level of fire we were discussing here.
No.
And the great parody where a guy took an ice cube and an iron plank to prove that the Titanic couldn't have sunk because ice can't puncture iron.
If we ever do a Kickstarter for Titanic 2, we should have that as our Kickstarter video.
Oh, but she seriously just had like some rebar and a Bic lighter. And he's like, see, fire can't melt steel. Therefore, inside job, blah, 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 blah.
It doesn't have to melt it. It weakens the structural integrity of the steel.
Yeah, I'm trying
to figure out. The rebar was nowhere near weakened by that Bic lighter, Andy.
Oh.
I am trying to figure out what that lever is supposed to do.
That guy on the ladder jumps on that end, which propels the forward thing forward.
No.
Well, that's what it's supposed to do.
Isn't the fulcrum? Isn't that way forward though too? Like you have it like this, and then you have the fulcrum like way over here. So when he's jumping down to here, it's
pretty centered, right?
Is it centered or is it? I thought it was more forward like this.
No. No. And so as they point out, like what would really need to happen is for it, if you put that on the top backwards, it solves all the problems.
Yeah.
If that's a separate piece and you can install it 180 degrees rotated, it works by the laws of physics. Because when you jump on this end, whatever's here will fly that direction. Because what happens is as it's swinging up, it's swinging that way already just from the lift. And so it'll continue in that direction.
Couldn't a trained... trapeze artists go forward too?
It could. Barrels aren't oft times well trained in trapeze artistry.
Or you mean whelps?
There's a whelp sitting on the barrel.
Oh, okay.
It's a barrel with a whelp sitting on it. It's not a whelp holding a barrel.
All right.
That's the problem.
Okay. I was thinking maybe they're trained in it. They're like, that's their only. Wait, how would you train for that? Never mind. I guess it wouldn't be something that you would have.
Although I guess the barrels could be well trained. There's just a bunch of barrels lined up, and like they got the professor like pointing at the chalkboard.
Yeah, you know, the chalkboard.
Barrels just have little notepads in front of them.
Yeah,
that they have to turn in for 40% of their fucking grade.
I suppose the whelps, if they're the ones that are holding,
does it count as a callback if it was something that was said before we were live? before we were.
Oh, was that before we were live?
Yeah.
What? Shit. Start the recording over and this time record the stuff before we started recording.
No. No.
Okay.
Callback failed.
Well, you know, it's a callback to us, yeah. So, you know, it's better.
What's so
better
that makes it an inside joke.
What's better than an inside joke to tell everyone else, because that's the best. That's basically this whole podcast is an inside joke.
Like, this podcast is a joke.
Yeah. What? We're doing good this time. So wait till you start farting. It's gonna be the worst.
That hasn't been you?
No.
Oh.
No.
No.
Have you ever farted... like so yes. bad, yes. so bad that it's like when you go to a fast food chain or go pick up pizza at like a Glass Nickel and you have it in your car for you know, just the trip home. And then for the next 2 days, that's all you could smell in the car.
No,
no.
I've had a fart that bad.
Oh, that's bad.
I get in my car and it just smells like fart.
Are you sure you didn't like shit on the floor?
No, I'm very sure. I have clean underwear, but it definitely
well, not
is.
In the underwear. Like it was down the pant leg and it just like rolled under the seat.
No, no. Because okay. I've had it occur outside of that too.
And that area of the outside continued to smell? Wait a second. I want to know. This is more interesting than the car.
This is also another one. The physics doesn't work that way.
So you're like out in a field and you fart and like 3 days later you come back to the field and it still smells right there?
No, but my jacket would definitely smell like it because I have the long jacket that's covering my ass and it just kind of store itself in my jacket.
Well, maybe you shit in your jacket.
No. Again, clean underwear.
Have underwear inside your jacket?
Yeah. Extra padding to make sure.
Fair enough.
Okay.
But yeah, no.
See a doctor. Oh.
Maybe. I'm starting to think about it because man, it's not good. It's like when Brian was talking about his bodily functions issues. My bodily function issue is I fart and it just smells like somebody died. And I haven't changed my diet either. So
yesterday I was talking to Brian and he had an anecdote and the moral of the anecdote was to check the toilet when you poop to make sure it's not filled with blood. So that's a good life lesson, is just check before you flush to make sure it's not just filled with gallons of blood.
Jesus. He was having troubles earlier today.
No, that was, it was a secondhand anecdote. It was a friend of his.
Oh, sure. Sure, a friend.
Yeah, it was him.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. So don't ride with me to a fast food place because my car smells like farts.
Oh, that's now? This wasn't some pastime anecdote?
No, it was like within the last week.
Okay.
Okay.
But yeah. It definitely, that should be our tagline for the video, though, is check your stool for blood. Maybe.
Yeah, I like the episode 224 was an inside joke. See, or an inside job. Because you were talking about 9/11 and callbacks. So it was both. Good job, Nick.
False flag people and the conspiracy theorist people, I can't deal with them. I cannot do it. I'm done with this subject.
There's only one conspiracy I believe, and it's 76 years old. And you know, I think that's old enough that you know, whatever.
What is that?
Pearl Harbor?
Yeah, there's no way Roosevelt didn't know Pearl Harbor was coming. He allowed it to happen specifically so he had an excuse to go to war. It's the only thing that explains the ignoring of the bomb plot and the random decision to take the aircraft carriers out on unplanned maneuvers immediately before the attack and blah, 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 blah. But whatever. I don't think that he dressed up CIA agents in Japanese costumes and attacked Pearl Harbor himself. I mean, that's some crazy shit.
But that's what happened, though. They took the aircraft carriers out. Yeah. They painted up all the planes to look like to look like zeros. And they sent those in. They bombed it. Oh, what the hell?
Yep.
a
side thing, just because you're talking about internet people being stupid,
are we talking about very stable geniuses now?
What? No.
I mean, I know it's like this isn't necessarily a political podcast, but as a podcast that focuses on humor, I feel like it is unethical to not make a joke about that.
Well, that is true, and you know. You know, not to get too political, but Donald Trump is a sociopathic pedophile who needs to die. Anyway, so stupid things on the internet. So the current season of Gwent ends on the 8th.
Okay.
New season starts on the 9th, because that's how seasons work. One ends and another one begins. So when the season ends, whatever rank you're at, you get as you climb
you get prizes,
you get a reward for each rank you pass. Mm-hmm. And then when the season ends, you get a big reward based on where you are, and then your rank drops to start the climb again. But they don't have you drop all the way. They have you drop a portion of the way.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I mean, Hearthstone's the same way. When the new season starts, doesn't Hearthstone go like, hey, you're like a level 6 guy. We're not going to start you at 0.
No, I think everyone starts at 25 again.
Oh, do they start at 25? I thought you got like some auto kick up like to like 21 or 20 or something.
Yeah, you might be right in there. You lose a couple levels, but I think you...
Yeah, you don't stay where you were. But
you definitely don't, because otherwise I would make sure I have new backs every time.
You don't all the way go back to 25. Like, yeah. They look at where you were and they bump you up to, like, you know, 21 or something like that, because they figure, yeah, whatever. But so that's what's happening with Gwent. It used to go down to one-third your current ranking. So if you were at 3,000, you'd go down to 1,000. And you'd get the ranks – you'd get the rank-up prizes for everything that you passed. So if they started you at rank like 6, they would give you the rank 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6 prizes.
Okay.
Because it's like you did them. So they changed that this season. This season they only bump you down to half your level. And the part that people are getting angry about is that you don't get the prizes for any levels that you start above. So if you start at level 10, you do not get the rank up prizes for 1 through 10.
Okay.
Yeah, it goes lowest to highest in Gwent, but
same concept. Okay.
You don't get the rank up prizes for that. So people are like, oh my goodness. So people are talking about what they're going to do is purposely ruin their ranking at the end of this season to start lower next season. And they're right. Like, by doing that, they can get more rank up prizes. But so... Let's say you spend 2 hours ruining your rank, just losing as many games as you possibly can.
Sure.
Then, next season, you spend 10 hours climbing back up to the rank that you would have been to if you hadn't have ruined your rank to get those same prizes. And you're doing that to get, like, 5 packs worth of prizes. So we're talking about, like, $10 worth of stuff. So for those 12 hours, just go mow some old lady's lawn for $10. Sure.
And then buy
some fucking packs. Like, holy shit. The drama people are going through online over a nickel's worth of fake cards is insane right now.
This does not surprise me.
No.
Not at all.
The economics of it, I'm just like, go work 2 hours at a part-time job and you will pay for all these prizes. Holy shit, people. Calm down.
Oh, okay. So for Hearthstone, they do everything via bonus stars. So if you were rank 15, qualifies for 10 bonus stars. So you would start at rank 21.
Yep. Bonus stars is the same as starting at a higher rank because you cash in the stars or whatever. Yeah.
I used to at least make sure I got down to 20 so I can get the cool card back for each season. But man, I have not touched Hearthstone in a long time.
Gwent's the same way. You know, you get to turn ranks or whatever. But and that's how, with the bonus stars then, do you get, like, gold for every level you go up in Hearthstone?
You don't get gold. Get gold for anything. Do you get
anything for climbing ranks?
I don't think you do.
Each individual rank. It's just if you get to certain ones, you get a big prize, like the card back?
I don't think you only get the card back, and then you get, like, a special thing. Like, if you get in top 10, I believe.
See, like, Hearthstone, like, rank 3, you get a pack. And, like, rank 6, you get, like, 2 packs. And rank 9, you get, like, 5 packs. Like, they just throw fucking packs at you as you climb the ladder.
Card backs and golden heroes.
That's it.
And you get a bonus chest for highest rank. Yeah, it's maybe golden cards.
At the end of the season in Gwent, you get a pack per whatever number your level is.
Oh.
So I'm rank 19, so when the rank end tomorrow, I'm just going to get 19 packs.
yeah, you don't... It doesn't really look like you get that much.
Yeah.
Yeah, rank 6 to rank 5, you get 280 dust. But even then, I don't think 280 dust even makes you anything normal in that game, because, like, some of the golds and rares that
cost
thousands. Yeah. And then most commons will drop, like, 5...
Meh. Yeah, Hearthstone uses daily quests. Well, spoiler alerts, in addition to the ranked level up rewards in Gwent, they also have a daily thing where for winning six rounds, you get 1,000 ore or 100 ore, which is enough to get a pack. So you get a pack just for six rounds won, and they just instituted daily quests as well.
The amount of money you get from a daily quest in Hearthstone is, it unless they've changed it, has always been pitiful. It's been the worst.
The six-round win that you can do daily is a pack. And the daily quests are 40 or 60 ore, so two daily quests is also a pack. So 2 days, you get three packs, plus whatever rank-up bonuses you get.
Yeah, you don't get packs like that in Hearthstone.
You could debate whether or not like the gameplay is for you, but holy shit, do they throw free cards at you in Gwent?
Well, basically being able to basically disenchant like one of the entire factions that you get, and then you have enough to basically build another faction, or build into what you would consider your main faction from all the dust.
I talk about Gwent enough, but I just want to talk about the stupid people who were, and like, it's a bannable offense, actually.
To tank.
They made it a bannable offense, so they're wasting their time, they're being petulant, dramatic children, and they're risking a ban for $5 to $10 worth of stuff.
I assume that to do that, they just throw all their cards in first round.
Yeah, or just forfeit. They start a game and forfeit.
Oh, really? I figured that would actually be something that they could track a lot easier.
Right. So the stupid people are doing that and getting banned. The slightly smarter ones just, I sure am bad at this game.
Yeah.
Smarter?
The slightly more sleazy ones.
More effectively sleazy.
Yeah. The ones who are higher skilled at doing their pointless, stupid thing that they shouldn't be doing. Yeah.
Speaking of bad people, you know what's worse in Heroes? Is when you have somebody who's just purposely trying to lose.
Yeah.
And they're with a friend and they're playing Cho'Gall. So they are both like, if people don't know Heroes, you basically have a team of five people. And if two of those people are off doing their own little thing in their own little world and not helping at all with any of the objectives, when you're playing Elite AI, it can get actually pretty damn troublesome.
Cho'Gall is kind of a friendship ender in that game.
Yeah.
Whenever I've played Cho'Gall with other folks, though, when I, you know, he's been controlling them, we've done fairly well. But you have to go to where the action is.
Right.
You have to be helpful. And if you're just, you know, like Zagara going over and just laning an entire lane by herself, or Sergeant Hammer just laning an entire lane by themselves, that's fine. People can usually deal with that. But Cho'Gall is such an offense. And then also when you're running around with two support characters as well. So all we had Cho'Gall. I was playing a healer. With the Blit Glaives. I cannot think of her name. She's from Diablo.
What?
You don't play that game enough.
The healer with glaives?
The angel.
The angel Oriole?
Yeah, Oriole. Yeah, I was playing as Oriole. Somebody was playing as Lucio, and the third person was playing, I think, Nova. So it was and Cho'Gall, and we were trying to take out one of the zones.
Cho'Gall would also be a good play-by-play announcer pack. That's a good point.
Oh, yes. Oh,
yeah. Lost Vikings is still the one that I need the most, but Cho'Gall would be okay.
I want Rock and Roll Racing. I want Rock and Roll Racing as a playable character in the game, because you can easily do it, because they have mines, they have missiles. You know, you could just have their different skins, could just be different vehicles, too, and that's just how they drive. It would be amazing. And you could have the announcer, too, at the beginning. It was like, the stage is set. The green light is go.
Yeah, all right.
And then going with the music of Paranoid, the cool MIDI version of Paranoid going on at the time, which they took out of the remake of the game.
Lost the rights, probably.
Yeah.
Or they didn't have the rights in the first time. It's kind of like Doom with all those Pantera songs.
They probably didn't have the rights, but it
Doom had no rights when Doom came out originally.
But I had I got the game off of Blizzard's like classic game, and does not have Paranoid in it. And I was very sad. Like, what is this shit? I'm not playing this anymore. Just has random just music. That's also a game that needs to come back. That needs to be redone. We need a new Rock and Roll Racing.
Trying to see what other games Blizzard has done.
Blackthorn? That's Lost Vikings. It.
RPM Racing.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's about it.
Blizzard has not done many games, but all their games have been pretty much good. I don't think they've done a bad one.
That Worlds of Warcraft game.
No. WoW
was
good.
They did.
WoW was good.
WoW
was good. WoW has basically single-handedly destroyed everybody else's hopes and dreams of building an MMO.
Ooh. So you got your RPM Racing, you got the Lost Vikings, you got Rock and Roll Racing, Blackthorn, and then the Death and Return of Superman. So Blizzard could kind of justify putting Superman into Heroes of the Storm if they can get the rights for him.
Oh, you need Blizzard Action.
Warcraft and then Justice League Task Force.
Isn't Activision
and then it's nothing but Diablo and Warcraft.
I think it's right for Star Wars Battlefront. Isn't it Activision?
Huh?
Isn't Star Wars Battlefront Activision?
Maybe.
I don't know. Which is a Disney? Oh, no, Superman's not Disney yet. Sorry.
They haven't. So the Lost Vikings 2 was 1997. That's the last time they released anything that wasn't StarCraft, Warcraft, Diablo, or Overwatch.
Hmm.
It's for 20 years. They've only done those three.
Well, 97? Really?
97 was Lost Vikings 2.
Hmm. I thought it would be. I thought Lost Vikings was earlier than that.
Lost Vikings was 92.
Yeah, because that was on Super Nintendo.
Lost Vikings 2 was 97. Which was also Super Nintendo.
Lost Vikings 5 is in Overwatch. I don't know if you've seen the arcade. The arcade panels, there's a Lost Vikings 5
in Overwatch. Motherfuckers, they need to actually make Lost Vikings games.
I know.
Well, when does Overwatch take place?
I can only play Trine so many times and pretend that they're Vikings. But yeah, EA does Star Wars Battlefront. Blizzard Activision is the ones doing, that did, did they do Destiny, I think? Yeah, Destiny is Blizzard Activision.
Yes, yes, yeah. Activision.
EA was Battlefront.
Well, it's Bungie, but it's the
distributor. Because Activision is part of Blizzard, right? And they're all so incestuous now, I don't know who's who. The point is, fuck EA. we are going to be setting up the ATC on Thursday, Gornis 78, so I don't know that we'll necessarily need any help because we'll be there, you know, that entire day early. Or not Thursday. That's too many days early. Friday, we're going to be there setting it up because the event starts on Saturday.
I'll probably be showing up on Saturday morning.
Oh, thanks.
Well, I don't have a place to stay over there, so I'm not going to.
You might. We have two rooms.
I can't afford to pay.
Yeah. I think I'm driving over Saturday morning. I'm not sure yet, though.
Either way, we're setting up Friday. Well, it's making six.
Yeah.
Oh my God! It's an overhead space shooter. That's not how the Lice Vikings work.
Yeah. It is pretty cool though. They have that. Plus, I think the Lost Vikings are also in Overwatch. They have Blizzard World, which is like a Disney World version of for all Blizzard stuff.
Sure,
looks amazing. They have like all big sections for StarCraft. They have Naxxramas. The old dungeon from Classic. It's a food court called Snaxxramas.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah. But yeah. We should probably go to recommendations. We're all getting quiet.
No, there's Zappity Grumbles.
Is there?
Yes.
No,
I didn't see any. If anybody wants to post something about Zappity Grumbles, talk about it.
Oh, well Idahoan had another had a question here.
Ironically, somebody from a flat state had a question about flat terrain.
War Machine locally uses almost all flat terrain. Is that true in most metas and the national meta now? Locally here in Madison, we use a lot of flat terrain, but my view, and it seems to be pretty common, is that we use flat terrain for forests and hills and the things that you actually need to put models on.
Yep.
And there are some people that use flat terrain for buildings and walls, and these people are wrong.
Yeah, I mean, true line of sight is a thing which I can see, but even locally, we don't use flat terrain for forests really that much because we have those. I mean, they're flat, but they're not like the matte things.
Yeah, I mean, we use cut wood
flocked on it, and then with trees that stand on it, and so the trees are three dimensional.
Yeah,
and even the hills, we usually have like the 1-inch thick, like ziggurat style with a sharp edge. So that's still 3D terrain. The actual flat, like mouse pad type stuff, it's convenient, and we use it. Like, we use it at the ATC and whatnot just because, man, is that a lot easier to store.
All of the people that run tournaments use primarily flat terrain just because of how many boards you need to set up.
At Pegasus, that all qualifies as 3D terrain.
Okay, if you count the forest we use at Pegasus as 3D terrain, then we realistically don't use any on the game.
Yeah, their question is about the mouse pad style stuff.
Yeah, specifically for the mouse pad stuff, we have a couple of players that use a full set of mouse pad stuff. Because they
can fit it in their bag.
Yeah, it's so convenient. Yeah, it's so convenient. I actively dislike mouse pad buildings and walls.
Yeah,
but that's
I agree.
About the extent of it.
We're blessed with a really nice terrain selection at Pegasus as well. There's a fairly thriving 40K community and Age of Sigmar community that uses all the same terrain, and generally they take care of it.
We have local people that actually enjoy making terrain too.
Yeah.
Especially Don. Thank you, Don.
Except for the first time that Brian and everybody went down to Pegasus and made a bunch of terrain for War Machine Knights, and the 40K players took those like little wooden boards that we had for forests, and then took the trees and then glued them onto the boards. That was the first. They haven't done that since then. So
well, they have. Good. They just did it at a different store.
Oh, they did?
Because Brian made a whole new batch when we were re-going to Last Square. When Last Square was getting back into it, Brian made a shitload of new stuff, and they did it again.
Yeah.
They glued all the trees to the forest boards, which is so convenient when you need to stand in that part of the forest.
Well, in 40K, that's what I know, is you just kind of just take your bucket of troopers, and you just dump them over the forest. Yeah. Wherever they land. That's true line of sight, and you know they could be like on the ground, flipped over on their head, and they still shoot. Just fine.
Yep. But yeah, so there's bonuses to both, but we tend to use actual 3D terrain more just because we have a decent supply at our local store.
Yep. And then, the 2D stuff is good for forests, waters, and other.
Yeah, Webs in chat has mentioned something that I would kind of agree with, the mouse pad hills, forests, and water, and then 3D walls and obstructions. Because like I have linear obstacles... the 3D ones in my dice tray, because you know those are nicer.
Yeah.
The obstructions I almost can understand if people really, really hate true line of sight, which for those who don't know the term is where you take something like Iris or Gorman or something,
or Forsaken,
Anastasia or Forsaken, something that is very important to know where that thing is at all time, and you just casually run it to the obstacle right up against it so that your opponent literally can't see them and out of sight, out of mind. And then three turns later, it just kind of moses out and Forsaken bombs their Harbinger for 50 dice of damage.
Yeah, who is that took that? Was that?
I mean, that's happened to several people. I've seen it.
That was at DICON many years ago.
Terminus with like 40 focus on him got bombed. I think at War Machine Weekend a couple years ago.
Was that Keith potentially?
I don't know. But you know, that shit happened. So if people really hate true line of sight, but I'm with David, I think that 2D buildings that just look like a square on a mouse pad, and it's not very nice. The trenches, though, it's so much easier because it's hard to do trenches with 3D terrain. You do like those slanted sides and then drop down into the trench, but then those sides are a nightmare to stand on.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the only time I've seen trenches actually work is if you have a board built for trenches, and then it's not as good. It's
right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like if you at home made like a modular board with like drop in terrain, you could have the dug out trenches and then whatever, but that's getting crazy.
Yeah.
For that much money, you could buy a hooch howler.
But it does come with a beer koozie, though. So, I mean, that's cool.
And the thing is, if that's like a $50 beer koozie, that means that the hooch hauler is only $115.
Yeah.
Which is a steal.
Yeah. I'm not sure if I pay $50 for a beer koozie.
Depends on the beer koozie. Yeah. This beer koozie comes with a hooch hauler.
Yeah, that's true. Did you get your shirt yet?
No.
No. I heard people have started to get their shirts, so.
I didn't get my Dracodile yet either.
No, that's still downstairs.
I don't know. I can't start playing again until I have a Dracodile.
Oh, yep. You could blame it on me.
Yeah.
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 And then
you're not going to start playing until I finish off Tales from the Borderlands as well.
Yeah, I'll just keep adding things. I need a Dracodile that's been assembled and painted. Oh, I need to talk to you about the ending of Tales from the Borderlands.
Painted.
No, that thing's easy to paint. I'll paint it. Raylene actually wants to paint it, but she can't. She can't paint it, Andy.
Why can't she paint it?
Because it isn't assembled yet.
Oh. She could still paint it. Assembly. I mean, you might have to repaint it after your assembly goes
right.
Just, what are you going to do? Just paint the individual parts and then just like pile it up on the base? And it's like, here's my Dracodile.
Like I said, if I ever won the lottery, that's how I want to assemble my things. I want to put everything together wrong.
Sewn together wrong.
Yeah, I want to put everything together wrong. I want like a Man of War shock trooper or Demolition Corps. I want the guy's like the fist. I want that come out of the headpiece. Yeah. It's like the hammer out of the head. I want to assemble everything wrong.
Fuck and it,
I want to
do it.
And I want to play it in a faction in a tournament and watch people get really annoyed at me.
Things like running on their hands with their feet coming out of their shoulders and yeah.
Yeah, I'm gonna put a totem hunter and his knee is gonna be put into the hip joint and he's gonna be a paddle wheel totem hunter.
You can do wonderful things with cavalry models. Like there's so many limbs and torsos and heads. You can do whatever you want.
Okay, have like piggybacks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you Ulans could be like piggybacks.
I did see somebody post it, and it's been a really long time since I assembled Ulans. Those things are like 8 pieces a piece.
Yeah.
I saw somebody complain about that on the Kador forums.
Yeah.
It was like, wow, I don't remember those having that many pieces, but yeah.
I do need to get another Dracodile to do my Gobber Chef, so. No. I don't remember if I talked about that on air, but I'm going with that just to piss off Travis.
Why?
I'm not talking to you about this?
No.
So, you know how, like, think of Marshals, like, Legion or whatever. Mm-hmm. People do this all the time. You have, like, a Carnivian, and he's, like, eating an Iron Fang pikeman, right? So you can use other models as part of a model's scenic base.
Oh, no, whatnot. I think I did hear this, yes.
So I just figure that I can have a Dracodile that is part of the scenic base for my Gobber Chef. So all I need to do is just balance that thing on a small base and then put the Gobber Chef on it, and it'll technically be a Gobber Chef with a scenic base.
Well, it'd be like my whelp calf.
Yeah.
Yep.
Have you seen my whelp calf at all?
No.
Yeah, no, I mounted all my whelps onto war dogs.
They're whelps.
Well, see, that's for the Black Friday Privateer Press Black Friday sale.
Yeah,
when they had Mark II battle boxes for $10 a piece, sure. I bought 10 Crix battle boxes.
Yeah, so you got chickens for days.
Yeah, because I was going to I'm going to at some point field Gatsby 3 with 9 slayers, and I bought the 10th one because 10 were the same price as 9, so why not. So now I can, in addition to being able to field a full 10-man unit of Denegra 1, I also have 20 chickens.
Were they the metal ones or are they the...
They're the resin ones.
Do they have a resin?
Are they plastic? The Mark II plastic battle box.
Point is he's got 20 chickens.
I've got 20 chickens.
You should paint them up like actual chickens. That's what I think. I think you should have, like, paint them all white in the back there. You know, have, like, a little red gizzard on the...
Not the gizzard.
Or whatever that thing is. What is that thing?
I don't know, but it's not a gizzard. Dewlap?
But I don't...
You're just making up words.
That's a real word. It might be right.
But I don't,
might be Dewlap.
But there's no good medium-based unit that I can justify as having something mounted on a bone chicken, or I would field a couple of units of them. No.
Dewlap, a fold of loose skin hanging from the neck or throat of an animal, especially that present in many cattle.
Oh. No, but you could...
Oh, right, because lizards have it when they inflate that thing on their neck. That's a dewlap. I knew that was a real word.
Especially if there's a Nedry nearby.
Yeah.
Whoa. Inside joke. If you guys got that, you know what it is.
Inside joke.
It's not an inside joke.
We're the only people who've ever seen Jurassic Park.
Yeah.
Holy shit, that trailer for the new one.
It's pretty bad.
Oh my lord. I like so
pretty bad.
The Red Letter Media guys just did like their 2017 like year end gloss or whatever, and they mentioned that the Jurassic World 2 is the only time he's checked his watch during a trailer. He's like, ugh.
I suppose I could do Bane Riders, but I mean, maybe they would be large enough to be Bane Riders. I could just put like
put them on a large base, that would work.
Yeah,
I was also thinking you could actually, if it's going with medium bases, you could put a bunch of the new trolls on them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Some blighted troll riders.
You can figure out something to do with them.
Yeah.
You can put them as like roller skates of like a jack.
Or, you know, you can find some way to have the 10 of them Voltron up into basically being one model. Yeah.
I was just going
to
say that.
it's like vehicle Voltron.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, with bone chicken hands and bone chicken legs and one on top as the head. And
form of Slayer.
Yeah.
And Mechanithral piloting it.
No, it must be done. With a Gobber chef on top.
No, just one Mechanithral in the center of it and then attached all the bone chickens. Yeah. So I thought I saw a Zappity in there.
Yeah, it was a thing about some stuff. Oh, what movie or TV series that isn't an anthology do you think would be better suited as an anthology series?
What? What would be better suited as a...
So first, we will define an anthology series, which is a series that does not have a continuous plot, but rather each episode is kind of its own standalone story that may or may not be part of a greater universe. Famous examples would be The Twilight Zone, Black Mirror currently, Alfred Hitchcock Presents.
How about American Horror Story? Is that considered in... Cause
each season is not an anthology series, but... Each, like, yes, if you step back a layer, right, yeah. Like, as an entire entity, it's an anthology mythos, but each season, rather than each episode, is its own self-contained thing. So, kind of.
Okay.
My answer, and they now said that they might be doing it, and I said this from the nanosecond I saw the first movie, which is I goddamn want a series that's nothing but stories from the Continental in John Wick. I want to just follow random people in that hotel on random jobs.
There's so many like characters from movies that I wish I would know more about. The character from Wanted, or the kid's dad, I think it was. He was the big badass assassin at the very beginning of Wanted.
Right.
I would love a movie just about him, which is basically John Wick anyway.
Sure. Well, and so that's the weird thing about this question is that like it's not... Once you have a central character or a plot line, it's no longer anthology series, right?
Kind of follow.
So this only works if you pick all. You have to pick kind of like a universe.
It's a Mad Max.
Sure, right?
That's kind of in a sense. Each one is. I mean, they're the only related thing that's really tied them together is this.
And arguably,
Max is there.
Arguably, Max isn't even there.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, like, it doesn't even need him, generally, for all the movies to... Beyond Thunderdome, he needs to.
My point is that I support the fan theory that those are four different guys.
I like the idea that that's actually the Cave Kid.
Sure.
From the newest one.
Yeah.
It's a neat theory.
I think the closing narration might screw with that a bit, but either way, it could be true. I just like the idea that... You know, the story about there's just some random dude that wanders through, and it's just tradition to call that person Max. And oh, like these legends are from 1,000 years later, and they've just all amalgamated into being the same.
Sure.
Oh yeah, that Mad Max did that, right? When in reality, historically, 100 different people had 100 different adventures, and they've all become the same guy in mythos. Because that explains away all continuity problems and all timeline problems. Yeah. And you just say these are four different guys and that the mythos is lying.
One and two work together. One, two, and three actually work together fairly well. Three is kind of, one, two, and three all kind of fit together. Because it's really, one is really kind of before everything really starts. Shit is starting to hit the fan. And then two is shit has hit the fan for a while. And Max has been there. And then three is like, what the fuck, shit?
Yeah, but how do you have the same actor playing somebody in two and three and not know Max?
Well, I mean, it's, you know, that's an issue.
The gyrocopter guy. And, yeah. Like, he's a pilot in both movies, but it's a different character.
Yeah. Well, you know, George Miller likes to use the same guy, you know? It's kind of like, you know, all the 40-year-old virgin guys. I cannot think of the
Judd
directors.
Apatow.
Judd Apatow. He uses all the same people. Here's actually my answer for the
anthology series.
I want an anthology series on Stephen King books.
Sure. I mean, they already are splintered and tangentially related.
Yeah. Correct.
So you can even splinter further.
I want those Stephen King's books done, because so they'll be just done in a season, and then we don't have to worry about them fucking them up by continuing them on.
Sure.
Like beyond, like Under the Dome was actually
I almost said Beyond Thunderdome.
But Under the Dome was actually a pretty decent first season for it until like three quarters through it, and they're like, well, this is doing really well. We need to do something to make this continue further because we're making money. And I'm like, if they would have stopped it when they were supposed to stop it, it would be great. And that's honestly like most Stephen King stuff. Yeah. If you stop it when you're supposed to stop it, it's good. If you just do it in like his actual vision for it,
yeah.
Like The Stand, the miniseries that they did was really good.
Yeah.
And they just, yeah. Yeah.
No, you're right. And just commit to one season each, you know. Yep. And yeah,
give us Rage. Give us the horrible shootout in the school with the. I don't know if that would go over very well, but
he won't even allow that book to be re-released again.
He's oh, really? Black.
Yeah, he will not sign off on any more printing to that
probably
book.
Probably could.
It's not like it's Columbine on paper. It's
correct. Yeah.
It's not that bad. He's overreacting, but whatever. It's his art. He can do whatever he wants with it. But yeah, no, that'd be cool. Like. Commit to one season per book, and then you can even have actors appear in multiple different ones, either playing different characters or even then you get the thing where you have Randall Flagg and the man in black, you know, Walter, and they may or may not be the same character because of how his mythos works, so you can have the same actor, and yeah.
Yeah, because, you know, stop fucking with this shit.
You've had plenty of time to think.
Yeah.
I kind of want to say The Matrix, because the second and third movie shouldn't have ever happened in the first place. And I mean, I don't think they really got anywhere with the with some of the overarching storylines.
So you want more Animatrix, basically,
I suppose,
because that's what that was. And that's the best. Like, that's my favorite thing in The Matrix is the Animatrix.
Yeah. And just pull out. Just have stories about some other people in the resistance that are realizing that they're in the Matrix without going through the kind of crappy overarching storyline that
you could have other random people waking up, you know, without being the one. Like, what's that like to wake up but not have somebody outside to yank you out, but to still be aware? Sure. And you can have people in the real world, you can follow their stories too.
Yeah.
You know, like people that were born out, like basically telling the story of Zion in a sense.
Yeah,
that would be cool.
I mean, in the life of an agent. It's kind of like Dread, but it's as an agent.
As an agent. No. Yeah. I agree with that. I heard that WB is remaking, possibly rebooting the Matrix.
That was one good movie, and then the Animatrix, and then two piles of garbage.
Never watched the Animatrix at all, but
it's good. It's worth watching. It's fun stories.
It's one of those things that basically made a really good film. They're like, wow, we need to do something else with this, so we'll shoehorn this plot into this.
And then the third movie had the worst design for Mecha that I have ever seen in my life.
Yeah, they're pretty bad.
I will say, though, probably some of my favorite scenes in movies did occur in The Matrix 2 and 3. The whole, I know you're talking about the mech sequence, but I actually really like the mechs. They did remind me of the front end loader bots from Aliens.
Yeah, but so, I mean, but okay,
they're not very protective. Yes, so, I know so, this.
No, I mean that's the big thing. The other thing is that the way they're set up is that everybody in combat with them is like this, raising their hand, their arms over their head, which you can't do for very long.
Well, maybe you can if you're assisted. Well, no, I like the visuals in that sequence itself with all the squid things pouring in. The fight sequence for theirs.
The visual. I mean, I thought the visuals in the second movie were fine. The second movie really wanted to be a series of music videos, and it was okay. As if you look at it, it's like, oh yes, this is a series of vaguely interconnected music videos. Other than that, it was a terrible movie, and then the third one somehow managed to be worse.
Mm. I mean, Like, basically, most of the fights that did not include Neo in the second one were the best fights.
I mean, that's the issue, is they didn't know how to handle Neo. Like, yeah. They made a god, and then they didn't know what to do. They had a Superman problem, you know?
Yeah.
And that's why I've always said, like, the way to fix the Burly Brawl. Like, there's ways around these, and you just have to be a smart enough writer to solve your problem. You need to look at the problem. You know, if I must have talked about the Burly Brawl
here. It's probably 100 episodes ago.
Talk about it. Because there's another example, and you look at your problem. So this is Nathan's film theory section of the podcast. Dave's going to black out there. Or were you just stretching?
No, he's just
stretching. I thought you were falling asleep. You were doing the head down thing. So here's the film. Here's and it doesn't have to be film. This can be true for if you're writing a comic book, if you're writing a book, if you're writing anything. Find your problem. Problem in Matrix 2 is that Neo is an invincible god.
Correct.
Okay?
He is Superman.
So you want conflict, okay? Mm-hmm. So let's look at the Burly Brawl. The Burly Brawl, for people who don't recall, is the scene where Neo and Agent Smith fight, and there's a million Agent Smiths because he keeps just making more of them, and it's just Neo fighting 1,000 bad CGI things. So in the film, they just fight for a while, and then they both go, scene's over, and then leave for no reason, okay? So that's terrible. So what you need to do is so Neo can't beat Smith because there's infinite Smiths, and Smith can't beat Neo because Neo's an unbeatable god. So you need to find a way to end your scene. Well, look deeper into your characters. There aren't infinite Smiths. Well, there are infinite Smiths, but why are there infinite Smiths? And the reason is because Smith can take over any human being, right?
Correct.
We've seen that in Matrix 1. Well, we've also seen when the agents die, they revert back to their human host form. So what you do is you have Neo fighting Agent Smith, killing him, because he can kill each of these individual things. And then 3 minutes in the fight, he looks around and he's surrounded by the corpses of schoolgirls and old men and just random innocent people. And you have Neo realize that he is committing mass genocide as he continues this fight. And then that is a huge dramatic problem. So that's your impetus for why the fight ends. He retreats, and then you take that and you turn it into your plot. Now you have an issue with your god character. Now he has to come to terms with, how do I beat this villain when every time I kill him, I'm just killing a random innocent civilian?
Yeah.
And you build your story around that. And now your problem became a gem of a story that you can fucking run to the races with.
Yeah, kind of like Dr. Manhattan.
Sure. Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
so, I mean, that was one of the things I always thought was the most brilliant about The Watchmen, was that they created their Superman and actually had a reasonable story around Superman.
Absolutely.
Around their Superman.
Because they looked at what the implications are of Dr. Manhattan and used it instead of glossing it over.
Yeah.
That was actually one of the Image comics, Supreme.
Yeah.
It was also written by Alan Moore as well. And
Alan Moore does a great job. He's insane, but he does a good job with that.
he's a little crazy. But yeah, they took the basically Image's version of Superman, which is Supreme, and they just kind of just like, what if Superman was an asshole? And that's pretty much what Supreme is. It's very neat. Yeah, no, I like that the idea of Smith there.
Yeah.
I heard you talk about that.
You just have to look at – yeah, oh well. Speaking of which, Bright was not a very good movie.
No, you're not one of the people that liked it?
That actually could have anthology series. So that's the thing. It wasn't terrible. And I would almost say Bright should have been an anthology series. I would love to see a lot more stuff, because it was basically Shadowrun.
There's more can be made.
They're going to make a sequel. Confirmed. But a sequel with the same characters they're going to do. But anthology series would be more
interesting. Like more stuff in that world.
It's basically just Shadowrun, right, for those of us who have ever played that. And did you see Bright? Did you bother to watch
it? Yet. I wanted to pain train it.
It's not the worst thing. I mean, there's interesting stuff to it. It's just really sloppily done, but not for like an example is, everyone's racist against orcs.
Sure.
Right? Because it's a metaphor for racism.
Sure.
So everybody hates the orcs. So Will Smith has the first orc sidekick because it's like affirmative action program to get an orc into the police force and whatever. And so they're looking for an excuse to get rid of him because they don't want him on the force because they're all super racist. So Internal Affairs gives Will Smith a tape recorder, and they said, we want you to tape record him doing something so that we can kick him off the force. You know, get him to confess to whatever. That's not important. The important thing is they give Will Smith a Chekhov's gun. They give him a tape recorder. And spoilers, like 10 minutes later, Will Smith is talking to some other cops, and the other cops are like, hey, we're going to go ahead and just talk to you about how we're crooked monsters and we're going to go murder people because we're going to just talk to you about this stuff. And Raylene's like, oh, look at this. He's got the tape recorder now. He can reveal these corrupt cops, blah, blah. Tape recorder literally never comes up for the rest of the film. Literally never mentioned.
Well,
it just disappears after the internal affairs people give it to him and tell him to use it.
Well, as you do with normal.
That's the, you know, with Chekhov's gun, you load it, and then it's never seen in your film again.
Correct. Yeah.
Or even worse, it's loaded, and then targets go across a target range in front of the guy holding that had Chekhov's gun, and you just never see the gun again. Because, yeah, it was set up to have him record those people.
Yeah.
And they didn't even not have him do that. They just literally never have the tape recorder.
Wonder if there was like a change in the writing process that they just know. They ended up filming the scene. They're like, no, this is not going to work. Like some scene down the line just didn't work very well, so they just cut it.
No, instead he just murders all the cops 30 seconds later.
Oh. All right.
Yeah.
I guess. Okay. Well, then it makes sense, though. I don't want to just record something.
Yeah.
Because I assume that wasn't tied to him then, too. Or
yeah.
Was it?
Oh, yeah, it was. Oh, yeah. The whole, like, 90% of the film. Yeah. It's the two cops running from, like, 50 different forces, and one of them is the fact that people now think they're cop killers.
Oh.
And if he was tape recording it, it sure would have, yeah.
Sure would have saved their, yeah.
Arctic Zero says the corrupt cops were all white. He's 75% correct. There was three white men and Margaret Cho.
Which you can consider a white man, too. No, I'm being horrible. That was, this is bad.
Yeah. But yeah, and just, of course, they do the thing like the supervillain can kill 1,000 people at a time, but then the normal hero can just go toe-to-toe with them because, you know, you're the protagonist. That makes you as strong as 1,000 other people.
Oh, so this...
Yeah, this was like, the biggest plot armor in Last Jedi was Poe's career.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. It's not the worst film I've seen, and the story idea was fine, and there was some interesting world building done in there, but it was just executed really sloppily.
So
just
maybe the sequel will
have making 101 garbage choices.
Because I mean, overall, the film actually did fairly well. Like if it was in theaters, it probably would not have had people watching it as many people that actually watch it for free. But it did well enough for them to say that, yeah, we're greenlighting for a sequel.
What is well? I mean, that's the thing is, like, how does Netflix measure that? How many people paid an extra month, either a new subscription or renewed their subscription to Netflix because of Bright? Like, that's the only way you can measure.
Well, they can measure how many people watch
return.
It.
Yeah, but they don't get a penny for that, right? Like, no, that's what's so weird about the Netflix original shit is that, like, Stranger Things, you can see it's a big deal, and all the t-shirts that get sold and stuff, that's something. But, I mean, I understand that they can rate how many people watch it, but none of those views translates to a nickel.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, as far as I can tell, it's not that they make money on it directly, but by making multiple films, it enhances their brand. It makes more people aware of Netflix. Right. Whether they're going to do it to see whether people are going to see Netflix or are going to subscribe to Netflix to see Bright, if Netflix is a studio and has the prestige of a studio, and people think of Netflix as a movie production house, like, that is, I think, the ultimate goal. And I mean,
correct.
I think they're looking at this 5 or 10 years in the future.
I get that. And that's the whole, like, that's why they're doing so much. They're doing a lot of original programming now. You know, Don't Feel at Home in This World anymore, and things like BoJack Horseman, and renewing MST3K. Like, I get that. They're doing all that stuff, and I understand that's the plan, and I understand that's the impact eventually. But how do you track how much of that Bright did? Because when you're justifying a sequel to Bright, you need to know how much Bright, and specifically Bright, is worth to you.
Yeah, I mean, I think to a certain point, that we're hitting the underpants gnome problem.
Sure.
The problem at some point here is that they've got this plan that they're going to build prestige, they're going to be thought of as a motion picture studio, and then at some point they have to figure out how to actually turn a profit on this.
Well, and it's sticky. Like, the chat's pointing out that, you know, Bright in its first 4 days had the same number of views as a blockbuster weekend, like the number of ticket sales, but those views are free, right? Like, it's easy for a blockbuster weekend to have a blockbuster week. If Star Wars Episode 9 was free,
Was there any kind of advertising that was in Bright at all? Like any kind of like commercial?
Oh, that's actually really good. But again, that's money. That's not necessarily greenlighting a sequel, but that is a way to get money. But I'm sure there was product placement.
There's always like a Pepsi sure. that was in there that Pepsi was paying. You know, like, hey, we'll pay you X amount for every view that you have of Bright. You know, it might be something like that.
Right. But that's standard film product placement then. True. It's just, I'm sure that they have their own algorithms, but it's easy to look at how many tickets Star Wars sells and say that's how successful it was. But looking at the views that Bright has is different because we can watch it. I could go home and set it on loop on my TV and give it 10 views that didn't earn them a penny.
Yeah. I wonder... I mean, they might have saved money from distribution as well because they didn't have to pay any distributors to send it out to theaters.
I mean, realistically, since they have to have the network capacity to stream it, the more people watch it, the more it costs them.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, beyond the fact that there is some non-zero number of people that bought Netflix subscriptions to watch Bright, although I can't imagine that would be that high.
And, you know, compared to didn't this cost them like $100 million or something like that? Like this
I
cost?
I don't think it was that. I think it was
tens of millions.
Yeah, it was.
So, you know, if this cost them $40 million to make, I don't think they got.
$40 million.
I don't think they got 2 million months worth of subscriptions out of this.
Yeah.
That's the difference. Like, that's, and I understand.
90 million. 90 is what million. Google says.
And if it's $20 a month for Netflix, they would have to have, you know, four and a half million
months. Yeah.
Yeah.
4.5 million months of subscriptions to break even financially.
Yeah,
there's no way that there's 4.5 million months of subscriptions off of Bright.
Can I get Bright on DVD or on Blu-ray?
No.
I mean, because they still technically have the disc service. I'm wondering if I could actually get it. If I can order it.
Yeah, and they're talking about, you know, again, Chad's something about views versus cost to produce, but views don't give you money. Views don't give you money. That's the thing. It's ticket sales are every view in a theater is $8 or $10 or whatever many dollars. But every view on Netflix is $0.
Maybe they're building this in a sense in the future for when they do a Bright 2 to actually put in a bunch of advertising dollars.
According
into it.
To Nielsen ratings, about 11 million American viewers streamed Bright within the first 3 days of its release, which is a lot of people. But again, I mean,
and that's $0.
$0.
$0.
It's -$0 since they had to pay for the bits to get out there.
If every single one of those viewers had purchased a month of Netflix specifically to watch Bright, if half of those viewers specifically brought Bright just for Bright, then they break even.
Yeah.
And then they didn't.
Yeah.
And Arctic Circle and Chad saying think of Overwatch. But again, that's different, right? Like, I can spend $100 on loot boxes and Overwatch.
Yeah.
I can't... I mean,
people buy loot boxes in Overwatch. I mean, nobody's pissed off at it like Activision because, that's 100% cosmetic.
Only.
I literally can't give Netflix $100 a month.
Yeah.
If I wanted to, I couldn't give them $100 a month.
Netflix loot crates?
Yeah.
Oh, it'd be amazing. You just, like, I'm going to, oh, good, I got a movie I can watch.
Andy, don't give them any ideas.
Instead, I got a part of a movie.
Don't give them any ideas.
We're talking about movie issues and television show issues. Yeah. I just realized that it bothered me when I saw it. So I've been watching a lot of Supergirl this year because I DVR'd the season. I don't mind Supergirl.
Supergirl's fine. I'm just
actually joking. all the CW shows are awesome. Heroes of Tomorrow or Legends of Tomorrow. That has 100% of Rotten Tomatoes on its third season.
Just the third season is 100%? Just 100%. Or the series is 100%
Third season is 100%. Okay. The previous seasons, actually, 100%. Season one, not very good. Season two, really good. Season three is at 100%. Because I was looking at the ratings for like the past year. But anyway, so there's a sequence in one of the new episodes where Supergirl runs into a gal that she's called Psy, and she uses psychic powers to make people relive their fears. and they made her feel claustrophobic because, like, after she was sent into a little ship, Krypton exploded. She got thrown off course, and she was basically in a coffin for like 20 years.
Good night, Gornis.
Night.
Oh, sorry,
he's going to work.
But anyway, so she starts freaking out in the elevator of the where she works at. Supergirl does. And she starts freaking out, and like she has her shirt open. They show inside the elevator, like via an elevator cam, so like it maybe is being recorded. So she's starting to pass out, and then she just flies out of the top of the building. Like, who the fuck is going to repair that elevator? And who's not going to look at the footage that was happening in that elevator before somebody just exploded out of it? How is this not? What?
Well, you know.
Maybe she fixed it herself or
yeah.
something? I don't know.
That's what we need in the anthology. In an anthology series is the IT departments in these superhero worlds.
They didn't have the IT, but they had the cleanup crew.
No. It was like an IT crowd for... It was power. Or
yeah, I thought they were more like a cleanup crew kind of thing.
But
kind of helping people. Yeah, it was a comedy... Bad show.
Yeah, I want to know the story of the guy that has to go in and then delete that footage off of the security camera.
Right. Yeah. No, what was that? It was not very good. Like all the other characters were awesome in it, except for the main character, which I could not stand.
Well, you know, it always works out well.
Yeah, I think it was Powerless.
That's what I was assuming it was called, and I started to type it in here. But yeah,
because that was Alan Tudyk, and he was. Oh, he was so awesome as the main boss of that show, and then the main character was the worst. She's just horrible.
Well, you know, that'll happen sometimes.
Because I'm a horrible person, and you know I don't like female actors, I guess. But she wasn't very good in that show. There's so many other people who could have did a better job than she did. Ron Funches was in the show, and he's. Hilarious.
Oh, the main actress was Vanessa Hudgens?
Yeah.
Yeah, she's...
She's not very good.
She's not particularly good.
No.
She was on the High School Musical.
Oh, yeah. That's probably how she got that job. Because she was popular in that. All right. I guess we're done with Zappities.
We talked that one out pretty well.
Yep.
We're running low on time.
Face is running low on time.
That's fine.
Snap!
I want to get tacos.
Oh, God, she was in Beastly. I forgot that movie existed.
Oh,
it was like a modern Beauty and the Beast, but the Beast was a hunky dude with tattoos and piercings.
Yeah.
Oh, how ugly.
Okay.
He had like tribal tattoos and like a nose piercing. Ooh.
To be honestly, if that came out in like, you know, 1993, yeah, then well, it would make sense.
It came out in like 2015.
Yeah.
I was like, wait, what? Like, is this his priest? Honestly, prince form?
Yeah, then all he has to do is put on a fedora and then he can get coffee at Starbucks.
Ooh.
Spooky.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I remember seeing that.
Such like, a monster second, with but. His tribal tattoo and... Kind of nose piercing thing.
It looks like that he puts on it all on in the morning, like having the half of the face there like that. It doesn't.
So bad.
All right, we should go to recommendations because I need tacos. I need to go get some tacos.
I recommend Vsauce. That's a YouTube channel.
Oh. I thought you were doing like V for Vendetta.
No, Vsauce.
Or V.
And there's like a Vsauce 2, Vsauce 3, Vsauce 4. There are other YouTube channel like split-offs. But the main one, the original Vsauce, starring a gentleman named Michael. It's all super interesting, generalized science, a lot of math-focused stuff. But interesting little videos. They'll have like a topic, but it'll branch off in like multiple different directions with the topic. Like one of the ones is what direction is down? Like just down, right? And it's an obvious answer at first. It's you know the direction things
gravity
fall.
Is pointing.
Sure, yeah. But so first of all, is there no down in space? In space, if you have two golf balls, they'll float towards each other. Is the down in between both of them at equidistance?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Even on Earth, you and I don't have the same down.
No.
because we have different directions to the center of the planet. And as magma shifts around, like, you can actually, your down cannot even go towards the center of the Earth. Your down might shoot off slightly based on stuff like that.
Yeah, definitely, because I've seen the core, and there's a lot of you know, magma is not everywhere.
Well, and sometimes there's all the dinosaurs and stuff down there in the center of the Earth.
And giant lakes.
Like, what direction is down for the lake? The fish in the lake at the center of the Earth, what direction is down for them?
Exactly. If you're in the center of the Earth, where is down?
There is no down.
But then he goes beyond that one and talks about, like, even on the surface, like, things arc around, or, like, in time, things fall. Because it's just all kinds of interesting that he splinters off. And then he does just simpler math stuff as well, interesting little bits of trivia. But it's almost Bob Rossian in how it's kind of hypnotic, and you just watch, like, 12 hours of it without realizing what's happening. But instead of painting, it's math and physics.
Down is also a thrash metal band as well.
Yeah.
I don't really like it very much.
Do you know how you get down off of an elephant's back?
No.
You don't? You get down off of a duck's stomach.
Down is a term for a style of feather, David.
Yes, yes, yes.
It's a joke.
Yes. If we're talking about Vsauce, I will go ahead and recommend Valentina hot sauce because it is a really good hot sauce that I did not know existed until I went to an actual Mexican restaurant, which was, I mean, that's my grading of Mexican restaurants is there's Taco Bell at the bottom, and then you go to better Mexican restaurants where you have Spanish speaking staff, and then the best Mexican restaurants where you also have Spanish speaking
customers.
Patrons.
Yeah,
and I found Valentina hot sauce at one of these top tier Mexican restaurants, and decided that my God, this stuff is amazing. It's reasonably hot, and it actually tastes good. Mm-hmm. And so I found it at Woodman's for like $1.69 for a 32-ounce jar of it. And so now my wife kind of harasses me because I put it on just about everything.
Caramba, what a savings.
Yes. But, I mean, it is my favorite hot sauce, and it is also stunningly cheap. So I will also recommend Vsauce.
All right. See?
How do you make an octopus smile and laugh?
I know how.
You know how? Yeah. Do you know how?
No.
You give it 10 tickles.
It's funny because octopi have 8 legs.
Yes. Yes, that's why it's funny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't have a recommendation. I have a bad dad joke is what I have.
I have 100 goddamn elephant jokes. Yeah. So many elephant jokes. What did Tarzan say when he saw the elephants coming over the hill?
I don't know.
Here come the elephants.
Oh.
What did Cheetah say when he saw the elephants coming over the hill?
She doesn't talk.
Nothing, because chimpanzees can't talk.
Yeah. All right. Recommendations.
I was going to tell you a third joke, but it wouldn't work because I had to previously tell you a different joke. What's the similarity between an elephant and a plum? They're both purple, except for the elephant. And then you tell that joke earlier. Pretend I told that to you like yesterday.
Sure. Okay?
And then I tell you the Tarzan and the cheetah joke. And then I say, what did Jane say when she saw the elephant coming over the hills? And the answer is, here come the plums. Sadly, Jane is colorblind.
I like that. I have to show David that the brick joke that Bernie Burns tells.
Oh, sure.
Actually, I really need to show David that. My recommendation is to play some Divinity Original Sin 2. The game is pretty freaking awesome.
I've recommended that in the past. It is an awesome game.
Yeah. You have that bone for perfectly legitimate reasons.
And yes, Websum 7. Yes, Valentina Hot Sauce is on Amazon, but it is several times more expensive than it is in an actual grocery store.
Yeah,
which is kind of common for getting groceries on Amazon.
Also, if you do a series of commercials for your store and you have a catchphrase in your series of commercials for your store, you don't get to be mad when people repeat the catchphrase from your series of commercials about your store. So, Carumba, what a stupid thing for him to get angry about.
I have never seen one of these ads. So
Woodman's.
Yeah.
The owner of Woodman's, he'll be in his room like, we got Downy paper towels for a nickel and 12-pack. Caramba, what a savings. That's every episode after he screams at you about the stuff that's on sale. He'll say, caramba, what a savings.
Does he have ants for eyes?
Better projects.
Her ants in his eyes?
Better products, better prices, served by better people because we're employee-owned.
Yeah.
Okay.
The point is, caramba, he can fuck himself.
Okay. I'll take your word for that.
All right.
Never seen one of these, so.
It's just a normal.
It's just a normal TV commercial. Okay.
David doesn't watch TV. We know that.
Yeah. Save big money at Menards.
Well, that shows up on the radio, so I hear that sometimes. Because it's like that's, I mean, local radio here, it's like jewelry stores, strip clubs, and Menards.
The only thing I hate more plans. Than the GOP is Jimmy John's radio commercials, by the way.
Okay, yeah.
I fucking hate Jimmy John's radio commercials.
So fast, you freak?
That fast-talking garbage, it grinds at my brain.
And all of the ads are just like 30 seconds too long.
And they're all, I get it, the guy's house is on fire and he called Jimmy John's instead of the fire department. You don't need a 17-minute long fucking commercial with your stupid 1920s fast talk to get the point across. Shut up and start playing music again.
It's been a while since we had a nice Nathan rant.
God, I fucking hate Jimmy John's commercials. Nothing makes me change the radio station faster.
McDonald's commercials or the Mad City guys.
Have you noticed the weird echo with the McDonald's commercials? This is local only. Nobody outside of Wisconsin will get this. So, Larrabee, the guy who does...
Wayne Larrabee. Yeah. Larrabee. Oh, yeah, when he's got the... I hate that touchdown commercial.
Why has he got a weird echo?
I don't know. It's so annoying.
But I'm right? Yeah. Why does he have a weird echo?
It sounds like he's just the most disinterested person in the room when he's giving that too.
But for the first half of the commercial, he's got an echo. And then once he gets to the word dagger, it becomes non-echoey. So it's like they spliced in one recording with a new recording. But why not just have him record the whole thing?
He says dagger? I thought he says dinner.
Or burger or whatever he
says. Dinner!
Yeah, he's a rrrr. But he's like, yeah, when he's like, you know, burger. Wow, what a great sandwich. And it like switches from some weird... Weird echoey shit to a fresh recording.
I also hate the commercials with the refs that are giving whatever thing about like, and I don't even remember the commercial. I just turn it off.
But I just can't double frustrating because I can't Google why is Wayne Larrabee kind of weirdly echoey in that one McDonald's commercial. I can't get an answer. It's impossible. Yeah. Like unless I track him down and find out where he recorded the commercial and track that person down and figure
they probably some studio engineer just said McDonald's said like, well, we need you guys to build this commercial, and studio engineer just went derp derp derp.
The best I can think is that the 50, 20, 10, and there is your, they took from a actual game.
The broadcast, yeah.
A broadcast. And that they wanted his mouth to be full for the rest of the commercial, so they recorded him fresh.
Sure.
But why not just have him record the 50, 40, 30, 20, 10 part fresh?
Correct.
You have him in the studio.
Yeah. Well, Wayne Larrabee is, you know, he's expensive.
Caramba, that makes no sense.
Yeah. Oh man, yeah. The Mad City sales guys. Every town
I hate those commercials too. Has got
that type of car dealership in their town. Mad City is probably one of the worst ones. Yes.
In fairness, though, I hate them. I despise them. I want them to die. Their commercials drive me insane. But when I need to buy a new car, you know what place popped into my head first?
It was Mad City.
It was Mad City sales.
Yeah.
Because I remember their fucking commercials.
Yeah.
So, like. There's that to be said about it.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's annoying, it's catchy, but yeah, they are all the. Well, see, I watch daytime TV, so I watch my Judge shows, and my Judge shows are filled with Mad City sales ads because the old folks I'm entertained by them youngins.
They're even worse on the radio.
Yes, yeah,
they're not as bad as fucking Jimmy John's.
Ugh. All right, we're gonna call it now. Thanks, guys, for watching. Thanks, guys, for listening.
We'll see you this weekend at the ATC, which 85% chance we'll be live streaming it, I think.
I'm hoping. I'm hoping we can live stream it. I'll probably be grabbing a couple folks to maybe do some commentary over games, or at least we'll be only be able to probably stream only one.
You know what? That would almost, if we do end up with people having a bye, that would be a nice thing where the people with the bye actually could do that.
Correct. Technically, a steamroller can run itself. I mean, it's really just reporting and then having them go and set the train themselves.
Nobody was driving the one that drove over Judge Doom. So obviously, a steamroller can run itself.
His eyes are just so weird in that movie. Just, when he's melting that shoe. I mean, like, come on. Oh, that was horrific.
Yeah, my first wife, that was her childhood nightmare.
was the shoe?
Yeah, we all had one thing we saw as a kid that gave us nightmares, and that shoe melting was hers. Like, for 12 years of her life, she had nightmares about that damn shoe.
For anybody that doesn't know what we're talking about,
Sloth.
Mine was James Earl Jones's head rolling down some stairs.
Yeah, I know that was yours, obviously. But then Goonies, like, Sloth's fine, and I love Sloth, and he's a great guy, he's friends of Chunk. But the first time Chunk sees him, when he's chained up and turns and roars at the door,
yeah.
I had to leave the room whenever we would watch that. When we would watch Goonies when I was a kid, I would leave the room for that, like, 2 minutes. I couldn't watch that scene. It scared me.
Mine was The Secret of Nim, basically, the whole thing.
The whole fucking thing. Yeah. Well, again, Don Bluth, right? Yeah. You can do anything to children as long as you give them a happy ending.
I'm going to describe you a scene, but I don't know what movie it was in. It was a horror film, but it still gives me shivers just when I think about it. It was some type of demon or something that used some force power or sense that took a person and folded him backwards.
Almost like Farnsworth in Futurama, but not wacky cartoon version.
Correct. And which then his intestines, his entrails, spun out towards the demon, and he caught his guts in his hand. I have no idea what film that was, but that movie still...
Man, I don't know what film that is, but Ermac does that as a fatality in Mortal Kombat X.
Right, yes.
So that sounds, that's very familiar, but yeah, no.
I only remember that sequence because it was like in a dark cave, you know, like sure. it was just a lot of blood. It was something I definitely should not have seen as I was a kid.
Of course, now
I
if you ever found the movie and watched it again, it's probably
hilarious.
It's probably hilariously bad graphics. Like it's an obvious mannequin being folded in half with paper mache intestines.
Correct. Yeah, I've never seen that movie or that scene since. Since that point, so it's very graphic in my head.
Oh, of course.
But yeah, all right, call it quits. Thanks guys for watching. Yep. See you next week. We should have at least
come see us in Milwaukee.
Yeah, see us in Milwaukee. We should
next Sunday is still the ATC, so we probably won't be recording.
We're probably not recording. We'll probably have
we probably won't live broadcast.
We'll have a podcast to post on Monday.
Well, maybe internet. I mean, depending on when the event's over, if we still have internet there, we could still do whatever. Who knows?
Yeah. We'll see how it goes. We'll keep you updated on Twitters.
And even if we don't live stream from the ATC, there will be updates like there were last year. So follow us.
Correct. And I might record games. There. Well, yes.
In person.
The other option is if we are not able to live stream, I will bring my equipment to record it, and I will actually record
post commentary
during the game. So
well, that's not post commentary.
Well, yeah. But I'll attach it in post.
Okay. All right, bye.
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 Whoa, whoa, whoa. Careful.